want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt of elderberry.
I am your father.
Welcome, everyone, to the third episode of Sharp Angles. I'm one of your hosts, Rich Haywood, still the fanboy. We're kind of split up this week. We've got people coming in live from, let's call it, the Rainbow Bridge. We've got Danae, our novice this time. Say hi, Danae.
Hi.
And then we've got Jeanette, the neophyte. Say hello. 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 All right. So we made it to episode 3, and we all know what that means. Yeah, that means we got some Thor action in. How it worked this time was we technically watched it in two different stages. Jeanette and Danae last night, and myself just a little while ago, and we got through it, and now we're going to talk about it. So, I guess as we did the last two times, we're going to start off with the neophyte and see what, how did Thor treat you this time?
Okay, well, I have to state, first of all, that my opinion was so biased on so many levels. Number one, from Danae, talking about how horrible this movie was. I mean, it practically sounded like, I don't know, one of Dante's levels of hell. So there was that on the negative side. On the positive side, I had my older sister Christina telling me for the last 2 years or whatever how absolutely gorgeous Thor is. And then also on the plus side, there was alcohol involved watching this. There was also a lot of, shall we say, interesting comments from the peanut gallery, meaning Danae and I, watching it. And we also paused it like 5 times, I think. So, it's an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes?
It's an hour and 54 minutes and 4 seconds long.
Okay, yes. And I think it took us like 3.5 hours to get through because we paused it so many times.
It might have been longer.
So, my opinion, I honestly can't say that it's very valid in any way, shape, or form, but... After all of that, I guess I would give it a 2.5 because honestly, I don't have a negative or a positive opinion of it.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, let's do a what were the things that you liked about it versus the things that you didn't?
Okay. Well, some things that I did not like about it. But there were so many, and I don't think I'm a stupid person, just for the record. In fact, I have a rather high IQ. However, there were so many times during the movie where I went, huh, what in the world just happened? I don't understand. And then sometimes Danae could explain it to me, and sometimes she had no idea either.
Nice.
So I don't think that the plot was as well put together as it could have been. There were a lot of holes in there.
Was it robust?
Yeah, no, there was no real cohesion. It was just a bunch of... It could have been done better. I don't think... It could have been done worse, but it also could have been done better.
Okay, alright.
So, let's see. Other positives or negatives? Positive... positive from a girl's perspective? I mean, let's face it, Thor is kind of hot. So, there is that.
Alright.
And, I mean, there were some entertaining lines and everything in it, but there was also some really stupid lines, and I don't...
They really like to use the word penetrate.
I think they only use it 3 times. So, I don't know if that's a plus or a negative there.
Fair enough.
But no, I mean, again, it was a movie. It was entertaining to a certain degree, but... It wasn't anything that I'm going to go out of my way to watch again.
Sure. Also,
if I can just say, as hot as Chris Hemsworth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. As hot as Chris Hemsworth is, he has a very long neck, rather like a giraffe. So that's a negative.
Negatives to long necks. Got it.
No, it's really, really long. When they catch him from certain angles, you see it, and it's a little bit on the disturbing side.
Gotcha.
So that's my overall opinion. I'm sure last night in my alcohol-induced state, I had more opinions, but I just can't remember them anymore.
Fair enough. All right. Well, okay. Well, what do you think? Like, you know, positive, negative, like all that kind of stuff.
So I'm going with this is harder for me than the last time I watched it, because at first I think I slept through some of it, all of it, most of it, because it was just so not engaging. I didn't find it engaging. It's still hard. It's still hard for me to be engaged in it because, first of all, Thor is completely unlikable and kind of a prat. And, you know, one of the things that Jeanette said in the first 5 minutes was Anthony Hopkins is his dad, how far he's fallen. And, like, it's true. Like, and all the acting is flat. The only one who has any nuance is Loki. You know, and maybe Chris Hemsworth and Thor, like, he softens, but it's like, I don't know. But the alcohol and the game helped. And watching it with Jeanette helped, and all the breaks. I mean, we took 5 breaks.
Yeah, so we really did.
There were five breaks. It was the longest viewing of Thor ever.
So all right. Well, let's get into that a little bit. What happened? Why were there so many breaks?
Well, I think at least two of them, possibly three, were because we were discussing C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity.
All right. Fair enough.
And I don't know, what were the other two ones about? inappropriate content not meant for gentle viewers or listeners to hear. That's probably what it was for the other two.
Fair enough.
So major dichotomy between those brains.
Yeah. So, and there was one point where we were at the last, so I think we broke, like, 30 minutes in. We had already finished a drink in the first,
at that point, okay, I do have to say, so our original drinking game was we were going to have a sip of our hard ciders every time that Thor opens up his big stupid mouth, as Danae put it. Because Danae told me that he only says, like, 52 lines. The problem is that Danae was asleep, apparently, for the whole entire first time that she watched the movie. And so, therefore, she only heard 52 lines. If we had drunk every time that he said something, we'd be dead by now.
Yeah, I kind of even, like, misplaced that thought, too. Because maybe it was that maybe it wasn't that he didn't speak at all for that, you know, or much at all during the film. It's just that he didn't say anything of consequence or meaning. So it was possible to forget that he spoke that much.
I believe I got this information from Rich. I'm going to throw somebody under the bus for that.
That's true. I think it was me that said he had, like, 52 lines. Because I just couldn't remember. I couldn't remember, like, that. Oh, all right, well, I guess he really did say something. Like, or, you know, like, he really did speak a lot. But it was just, like, most of the dialogue was just, like, all
right. Right. It didn't have any consequence. He went from being, like, this vapid, stupid meathead to being this Christ figure, and very rushed and very confusing. And I hated Jackie Chan, Robin Hood, and Xena. You mentioned Gimli.
I know, I noticed that. I did notice that.
You know, and I just, I don't know, there was no connection. And Natalie Portman has got the personality of cardboard, except when she says to him, which is, in my opinion, the best line in the movie, is this how you normally look? And he says, pretty much, more or less. And she goes, it's a good look. Jeanette goes, yeah, it is.
We won't say the rest of what I said about that. Nope.
We will leave the rest of it out.
Fair enough.
But I just, again, Thor exists. It wasn't as horrible this time as I remembered it being. And I think I only saw probably 20 minutes of it. But I have to bring up the objection here. Two of the monsters, the one of Frost Kingdom and the Asgard own monster that Loki sends out to destroy Thor.
Sure.
The way they
Which neither of those were very well explained either.
No, That's true. And nobody really explained how Loki could, like,
control
him his way. Right. And yeah. apparently, like, mind-controlled or controlled through a room or something.
Yeah.
It was very strange. And how Loki got back and forth to Earth so fast. It's just bizarre. It's such a bizarre thing. There are so many things that are left unexplained, and Jeanette would go, "What?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And I'm watching it, and I don't know. And we didn't have that many drinks.
No.
I don't know. I just can't connect. There's nobody sympathetic enough, except maybe Dr. What's-His-Name, Eric, What's-His-Name. I like him well enough, but Kat Dennings is Kat Dennings, so she acts the same way in Two Broke Girls, Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, and Thor.
That's true. It's very true.
She has no depth as a character, but I guess they cast her to be that stupid high girl.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's Thor. It was more enjoyable than the last time I watched it, but that's only because we made it more enjoyable. It wasn't more enjoyable for viewing.
Right, right.
But see, I feel as if even without the alcohol and without the inappropriate jokes we were making and everything, it would have been like mindlessly entertaining. Again, if I tried putting my brain into watching it, then that did not work at all. But it was what it was.
Yeah, if you asked no questions and you just watched for shirtless scenes. Then I guess
which
was
there was
right.
only one.
There was only one. That's
which was
true.
Stupid.
That's a very true point.
Stupid.
He needed to be shirtless more. That's
agreed.
Positive.
Agreed.
That's positive.
But at the same time, like again, it was what it was. There were entertaining scenes in it.
Yeah. But I do object to the way both of the monsters died because it was completely and totally. First of all, it was the same trick both times, where Thor goes smashing into the back of their throats. And it just, the imagery there was just, especially after the third cider, probably not my favorite. So, anyway.
Gotcha. Yeah, you're talking about, like, the big ogre thing on, Odin?
Bifrost.
Yeah, Odin's feet, Odin's something, land.
Yeah. Oh, and who in the world kidnaps a baby in order to inspire peace between two warring nations and then doesn't tell anyone that he kidnapped the baby? Seriously, that makes no sense whatsoever.
And then treats the child as an inferior to his biological child and then is confused when the child's treated inferiorly, finds out that he's adopted, is angry, and basically causes his father to go into a coma.
Which was not really... There was no indication that this guy had heart problems, and all of a sudden he's, like, on the floor with a heart attack.
Yeah, right. And
yeah,
I think that's exactly what happened.
I know.
Like, they called it elder sleep, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was stupid. That was not very well explained either.
Actually, yeah. So as fantastic as Loki is as a villain, especially in the Avengers, and he is a great villain, and you actually have sympathy for him. Like
for the most, until that one line.
Oh, yeah.
Until that one line, and then I was like, okay, sweetheart, you really need to calm down.
Wait, what was that one line?
Oh, when he's talking to Thor, and he's like, oh, what, did your little girl back there change you? And Thor says nothing, and he goes, oh, she did, well, maybe I should go visit her. I was like, okay, that was crossing a line there, I don't care for you right now.
Well, he did that on purpose.
Oh, I know, but it was still, and I don't think he actually would have hurt Natalie Portman, but it was still an inappropriate thing to say.
Well, it was the only thing he could say to ensure that Thor was going to punch him in the face.
Oh, I know, I get it.
So,
but at the same time, that was still a villainous line. Like the rest of it, he's rather sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Villain. But that one, I was like, okay, no, you deserve to be beaten up a bit for that.
You're out of line, dude. You're out of line.
Well, absolutely. I was with Thor's actions all the way when those words came out of his mouth.
Uh-huh.
You know. So, all right. Well, so what do we got here? We have. You said a 2.75?
No, 2.5, definitely. No, because I really don't have an opinion of it one way or the other.
All right. And then, what Danae, what was yours?
-5.
-5.
No, she's putting words into my mouth. I don't know. I suppose, and I suppose. So watching it, so I'm going to give you two scores, because watching it with the G and playing drinking games and making inappropriate comments, that's like a 3.5, okay?
All right.
Because it's fun.
Sure.
But I think that would be any movie ever, you know what I mean? Like, but if we strip that away and I had to sit through an hour and 54 minutes of Thor without that, it would be like a 2.
Okay.
Maybe. Generous.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I mean, on my side, you know, I came into it thinking that I was like, oh my God, I'm going to suffer through this and I'm going to give it like a 1.75 or a 2 or something like that. And then I watched more of it and I was like, all right, well, my game was, well, let's see how many pieces of the puzzle I can like, you know, get out of the movie. You know, for all the other connection that happens later, you know, in the Avengers and beyond. So I had some cool moments, some aha moments, and some fun doing that. So although I'm not going to break 3, giving that to that movie because it doesn't deserve it, you know, I'll give it a 2.75 just because there is some cool, like, hidden stuff in there if you look hard enough as a fanboy that you can kind of, like, get out of there. But it's like, you know, just like extra stuff. It isn't anything earth shattering or, you know, monumental, but it's cool because it's there. You know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, but as far as my like experience watching it, you know, this film above and beyond any of the other films that I think we'll ever see, certainly in the MCU. I don't know, maybe later on if we start branching out and watching other things, I'll change that opinion. But you know, this particular viewing, you know, I went in literally expecting 0, and even worse, and, you know, found that it was like, all right, well, I guess it's not horrible. You know, it's a bad movie, but it's like, you know, fun to laugh at. And, if you can excuse some of the, like, you know, the crazy things that are happening, actually, you know, as far as the film being put together, well, you know, Kenneth Branagh did have some, you know, weird storytelling issues, but good directing chops as far as, like, you know, setting a scene and, you know, like, giving the actors a place to play. He just didn't do a good job in giving the actors motivation to do much in those scenes.
They're so flat, all of them.
Yeah,
they are. They all have the same intonation. I'm going to beat you up! No, I'm going to beat you up.
Well,
sound, like, there's no nuance. There's no, even Thor's character development turns on a dime, and all of a sudden he goes from being, I'm going to beat you up, to, I'm a soft, cuddly man. And, like, and it's just, it's not nuanced at all.
No, but, and Natalie Portman is the same way. She goes from, oh my word, I don't care about this guy one single bit because he's getting in the way of my research, too. Oh my word, I'm all starry-eyed because I saw you shirtless, which, okay, yes, he looks good shirtless, but come on, seriously. She's really that into science that she didn't notice his pretty form before. But I think there's one exception to that rule that you just put out there, mm-hmm. is Loki. Loki was actually melodramatic overall,
yeah.
Especially when his father has whatever, the heart, I'm just going to call it a heart attack because it's easier to think of it that way.
Sure.
I thought he overdid that part. I really did. He overdid it and underdid it at the same time. It was very odd.
Mm-hmm.
Sure how you can manage that, but somehow he did.
Yeah.
And I would agree with you. He is the one exception to lack of nuance.
Yeah.
He really does, in many, many respects, carry the movie, even though you don't exactly understand. You have no framework for this world.
Yeah.
There's no, like... And Jeanette's like, wait, if they're gods, why don't they live in Valhalla? I'm like, because they live in Asgard. I don't know.
Well, because Valhalla is where you go when you're done being, like, useful as far as gods go. That's what I'm getting at. You know, like, that's what I'm getting from it anyway.
But I thought the original mythology, I used to really be into mythology, but it was forever ago, so maybe I'm screwing this up. But I thought the original mythology was Valhalla was basically heaven where the warriors went after they died.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Human warriors, though. So, therefore, the gods should be there already, right?
I guess. I mean, like, they can go there. You know, like, it's all connected. It's a place that they can visit. But I mean, maybe Asgard is like the capital of the gods. Like, you know, that's where the stuff gets done. Like, I don't know. Like, it's weird. It's really weird.
I mean, they do mention Valhalla at one point. Yep. Thor makes a random comment about how, you know, I showed you that banquet that, you know, you thought you had died and gone to Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, it's either mythology in their already mythological world or it's someplace to aspire to.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems really weird. Does he mention it when he draws the star map for Natalie Portman's character?
He doesn't mention Valhalla.
No?
He mentions Asgard. So in Norse mythology, Asgard was the home to the citadel of the gods, corresponding to Mount Olympus in Greek mythology.
Okay, so there
we go. It was located in the heavens and was accessible only over the Rainbow Bridge by Frost. Asgard had many gold and silver halls or palaces, the most splendid of which is Valhalla, the residence of Odin. The Norse myth held that Asgard would be destroyed at Ragnarok, the Twilight of the Gods, the final battle in which the giants and the demons would overcome the gods.
Oh, well, that could inform some things that we're going to see later on.
Sure, and Valhalla, Hall of the Slain in Norse mythology, is the hall presided over by Odin. This vast hall has 540 doors. The rafters are spears and the halls roofed with shields and breastplates litter benches. A wolf guards the western door, and an eagle hovers over it. It is here that the Valkyries, Odin's messengers and spirits of war, bring half the heroes that died on the battlefield. The rest go to Freya's hall, Falkvang. These heroes, the Einherjar, are prepared in Valhalla for the oncoming Battle of Ragnarok. When the battle commences, 800 warriors will march shoulder to shoulder out of each door.
Huh. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a pretty succinct
description,
and would have helped us to understand more of what was happening in
Thor. Yeah.
Like, we got, so, but again, there was no background information given whatsoever. You're just thrown into it.
That's true.
So, we know that Thor is the god of thunder, and that's pretty...
Well known.
Like, that's of the common information, right? But who, aside from Jeanette, knows much about Norse mythology unless you grew up in Norway or Finland or Sweden? And so some background, some context for us would have been helpful, because half the time we had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have that context, you know.
But here's my question, and Rich, you could probably answer this.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that would a comic book junkie, a Thor junkie, know automatically before watching the movie?
Well, it might be implied knowledge, because in the comic books, Thor's character, you know, like, goes between the planes almost every issue, and he's thrown into some different thing to solve or do or you know, some other adventure. So they don't really pay a lot of attention to that base mythology or tell those backstories until, like, you know, a fluff piece issue here, a fluff piece issue there, an annual here, an annual there, that kind of stuff. Like, stuff that's not in the main line. The character just is because, well, you know, he's Thor, you know. And that's I think, the attitude that they've carried that character through the comics with, and just might have been implied, well, you know, people know who Thor is, so just tell the story. And maybe you'll get more of that backstory later, because, you know, we're getting to, in the Thor universe, we're getting to that. Like, the climax of Thor's story is going to happen, that battle is going to happen in the next, not the next movie that we need to see, but the next movie after that, like Thor 3.
Do we get more context in Thor 2? Like, because I feel like you said it's a great movie, and I'm a little concerned that this movie was such a wash.
Yeah.
And so we have we're set up for the next movie because we watched this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think...
But I still don't... Go ahead.
Oh, I think that we will get a payoff for backstory and that sense, because the dark world is separated, not necessarily all the way, but separated enough from the goings-on of the regular continuum that it offers more time to tell that story. So where, like I said, Thor, the Dark World, was one of the ones that, you know, bits and pieces got seen from me, but, you know, I by no means am the expert there on that movie. It's one of those things where I'm almost sure that that's what makes it good, because people said that the story was great. So, you know, from the people that I've heard that went to go see it, and they were people that went to see Thor and didn't like it. So, you know, I think you're going to get that payoff there. But you know, for the third film, you know, they all have you know, instead of just, you know, like Iron Man has Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3 with no subtitles. Every other movie has a subtitle now. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle for what is going to become for Thor 3 is Ragnarok.
Okay.
So, you know, I think that's where we're going with that. Which could be cool. You know, cuz that'll set up the kind of like what's going on in the rest of the universe side of how people are going to react to the close of Phase 3 with the Infinity War later on. You know, with Thanos and, you know, two of those movies, two Avengers films in Phase 3, which is crazy. So, you know, it's going to be wild. So, I'm looking forward to that. So, I guess getting into how we like, you know, normally discuss these movies, tying it back into the greater overall picture, what do you guys feel about Thor's place in the MCU, like, proper?
Oh, dear. Thor, he's sort of a meathead.
Yeah.
He's the muscle with a giant hammer.
Mm-hmm.
That's not meant to be sexually, even though Jeanette's chortling. There were some inappropriate comments about that. But he's like the muscle. He's like the guy you bring who doesn't really have a brain and just does, I don't know.
I mean, but again, at the end, he is a transformational character. He's no longer a complete until a meathead. He sacrifices himself. You know, he's Christ figure, for lack of a better way of saying it. Exactly. The same story of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, except that Thor starts out as Brat.
Right.
So I guess I don't see how he adds anything at this point, at least, but I also don't see how he would take anything away either. He's right. Just another superhero to, I don't know, fight the forces of evil, drive him back with his superior weapon. He's the muscle. But again, I mean, all of them are to some degree.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson is, I mean, all she ever does is just kick ass. That's it. And look sexy doing it, of course.
Speaking of, Jeanette wanted to bring up the controversy.
Well, I want to make sure that Rich covers all of his Thor-related topics before we go there, so.
Oh, all right. Well,
this will totally get us off topic.
So, I mean, are we in agreement, though? Like, I mean, you know, Thor is an Avenger, so therefore, you know, he and his ilk need to exist in order, you know, in order for the, you know, the greater good of the MCU. Is that, you know, is that a true statement, or, you know?
I'm just gonna deep throat monsters.
Oh my god!
Jeez.
I think that the Avengers could do just as well without him as with him.
Okay.
I would give him a 2.5. I mean. He exists, exactly. I can't say
what
anything
about the
positive.
Abs, though?
The abs.
So, all right. Well,
if he takes his shirt off more often, then maybe I'll give him a 3.5. But at this point,
what about his mighty hammer?
Oh my god!
This is getting wild.
Oh, you have no idea. It got so ridiculous. There were a lot of innuendos to be gotten out of Thor last night, at least with alcohol involved.
Fair enough.
But again, people don't traumatize anyone. We'll keep a lid on it, right, Danae?
No.
She's like, no. That's awesome. All right. So, all right, how did you guys feel about the introduction, non-introduction about of another Avenger during Thor?
Okay, if they had not said anything, well, okay, so I already knew he was coming up.
Yeah.
But as someone who did not grow up on comic books overall,
mm-hmm.
I never even heard of Hawkeye.
Right.
And the only reason that I knew that he was going to be Avengers because I've seen, you know, the posters and the previews for Avenger movie since.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I would have had no idea why in the world they threw this random guy in there, because to me, he served absolutely no purpose.
He did absolutely serve zero purpose.
Okay. Like,
he comes in on the scene and he's like, all right, awesome. Do you want me to shoot this dude? And then, like, 5 minutes goes by, and he's, like, just hanging there getting rained on. And he's like, all right, Coulson, am I going to do this or not? Nope. Okay, I'm going away.
Okay.
Like, it's, like, worst introduction of a superhero ever. That's right. Right there. You know, Hawkeye gets a zero because he does nothing.
Nope.
like
Thor, he exists. And even in the Avengers, we don't really get a Hawkeye backstory. Like, I don't have much context except I know Jeremy Renner is Hawkeye. And
right.
He's pretty good with a bow and arrow, which, you know, he's not so hard on the eyes, so he's all right, you know. But it's so impotent. That's how I sort of feel about the whole movie. The whole movie is sort of impotent, you know. And that's not me being sexual, it's me, like, it just has no drive, it has no
purpose,
except to introduce Thor, which, God, if we were going to introduce Hawkeye, can't we introduce Thor in, like, a Tony Stark moment? Like, can't we do that?
Well, maybe, you know, but, I don't know,
I mean, Thor could have been the person that Iron Man hooks up with in Iron Man 2 against Loki, who's a fantastic villain, and that would have been a much better story.
Yeah, that could have been cool. Yeah, that could have been very interesting, actually, to see that twist of events.
Robert Downey Jr. spends the entire movie making fun of him. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, because he kind of does in the Avengers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then Jeanette and I wouldn't have to make up games. You know, drinking games in order to get through the movie.
That's true. So
I would have been fine staring blank face at the TV without the drinks. I really would have been. Not me.
So,
apparently my standards are not as high as Danae's.
Gotcha. Well, so, I mean, I guess, like, I don't know. There isn't really too much to say there. Did you guys stay and watch the bumper?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
At the end?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, like,
so this is the question.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on? First of all, how does Loki get between worlds, though? Because their Rainbow Bridge Bifrost is broken.
Uh-huh. But there are other ways, remember.
Right.
He tells Heimdall that there are other ways to get back and forth, and he doesn't have to use them anymore because he controls the Rainbow Bridge, and then, you know, Thor destroys it, so.
And there are, like, the Frost King. That's how the... doing the mark, that's how the Frost King, like, he says, he tells them, the Frost people, how to get in. That's what happens. That's his first act of treachery against his father.
Right.
In order to prove himself to his father, which is bizarre. But how does he apparate, for lack of a better word? How does he apparate places?
Yeah, I mean, other than he's the character that has magic, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, like, I mean, I'm not exactly sure whether or not it's even actually him, or it's, you know, one of his own apparitions. Because, you know, you see in the movie he has the power to make several copies of himself, and, you know, they look just as real to anyone else, but they're not him.
Right.
You know, so maybe, like, he's projecting himself somewhere, and he's got that kind of, like, mind's eye, you know, crazy magic thing.
Astral projection. And yeah. He's British, of course, he can do it.
He attended Hogwarts.
Yes.
His education.
He's a wizard.
He's a wizard. I mean,
I don't know, the whole premise of the movie, I don't know. And then there were, like, a bunch of things that happened that Jeanette's like, what happened? And now I don't remember what they were.
I know, I can't either.
And so, you know, plot holes remain unexplained, and we can't get clarification from you. So
oh, no.
Yeah.
Because apparently there is no clarification.
And I'm not watching that movie again. It's never happening.
Nice. So, I mean, I don't know, like, yeah. Going through it, there isn't, like I said, there isn't really anything earth-shattering. You know, yeah. Other than the fact that there was a lot more S.H.I.E.L.D. presence in that movie than I originally thought.
Yes, they were very heavily involved.
So, I mean, you know, it's, I guess that in and of itself, like giving Agent Coulson a reason to run around and be on screen a lot, that matters. Because there is a greater impact of that character later on. So. Gotcha. So, you know, that's stuff for you, Jeanette, to, the, you know, put in your back pocket and then, you know, be like, oh, okay, you know, there's a moment that happens in the Avengers, you know, that's kind of critical for that character. And then, you know, maybe you don't understand why there's so much, you know, so much, like, energy being, you know, or screen time even being wasted on a character that's, like, a secondary, like, almost throwaway. But it matters. So.
I will take your word for it.
So, you know, and then, you know, that'll lead to even more interesting discussions, like, after that, so.
I like the shot that Agent Coulson gets in on Tony Stark.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, in Iron Man? Yeah.
Okay. No, in Thor, when the big machine thing that somebody asked, that one of Stark's, and he goes, I don't know, he never tells me anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. That's good stuff. Yeah, Agent Coulson's awesome. I like his character.
I like him.
He's a cool dude. Alright, so, I guess, I don't know, I guess we're, you know, we're, I don't know, I guess we're pretty much talked out of Thor, because, you know, it's kind of hard to like have a deep meaningful discussion with so little on the plate there. So
maybe if Danae and I had done what you told us to and actually taken notes, we would have more to talk about. But that didn't happen. Sorry.
That's all right. Because you know, with the remaining time, we can like you know we can dish about all sorts of you know crazy nonsense in the real world.
Or the controversy.
Yeah. Exactly. So what's up? Like give me a little update about what's going on in the movie world.
Okay, so apparently Chris Evans and Jeremy Renner were doing an interview with someone, I don't know who, digital spy, there we go. All
right.
And the woman who works for Digital Spy, she asked them what they thought about Black Widow falling for the Hulk instead of one of their characters, and then... Jeremy Renner said that, oh, well, you know, it just shows that she's a whore.
And oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, and then Chris Evans starts laughing hysterically and saying, yeah, she's just a giant slut. Now, I do have to say, inappropriate language, yes, but if you read the transcript, it comes across much worse than if you watch the video. It's obvious that they are just being idiots and... responding to a question, they have no idea how to answer this.
Sure.
In fact, in the video, you can even tell they don't care about answering this. They are tired, they're exhausted, and they're kind of loopy.
Right.
And they've been on tour a really long time. Sorry, I'm eating chocolate. It's really good.
From Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm. So.
And so they laugh about this for all of, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds.
So for the record... does the reporter.
Female reporter. Yes, she does. And she doesn't look like she's uncomfortable either. Maybe she's a really, really great actress who belongs in Hollywood herself, but she doesn't look like she takes any offense. And then she moves the conversation along to the next topic.
Sure.
But people freaked out on Remmer and Evans
right. And
said, you know, oh my word, how sexist was that? And that was dreadful and they need to apologize. So I think that Remmer, and now I don't know this from actually watching his movie, but I'm assuming that he's a bit of a sarcastic character.
Talking about Hawkeye?
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he has some snark, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, because the actor definitely has some snark, judging by the apology that he issued.
Shall I?
Yes, if you can remember it, go for it.
I wholeheartedly apologize that my joking comments about a fictional character offended you. We were exhausted from a long press tour, and we're trying to have some fun. Was the gist. That's sort of the summing up of the press statement his agent issued.
Yeah, Chris Evans, I think, he gave a much more genteel apology, but here's the thing. Again, I don't think that you should be. I don't think that men should be calling women whores and sluts and everything. But I don't think they actually meant it either. And sure. I think taking such absolutely grave offense at what they said is a little bit hypocritical, considering who they were talking about in the first place. Because let's face it, Black Widow is a very sexual character.
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely.
She parades her sexuality around at every single second she's on screen. Every single second.
And the other thing is, okay, now if they had said it about Scarlett Johansson,
yes,
that's one thing. And people could get up in arms, even if they were just joking. Okay? But she does not, Black Widow does not exist in the real world. Okay?
Right.
She is, in fact, a fictional character.
You might have people wanting to kill you right now, today.
Very sorry. Harry Potter doesn't exist either, and I love him. But the reality of the situation is, she doesn't exist. So how can people get mad about saying something about somebody who doesn't exist? I don't get it. Like, men should not be talking about women like that. But Jeanette and I were having a conversation. We would have said something like that and laughed about it.
Yes,
like,
we totally would have.
And it was maybe not the most appropriate comment to make, but again, we would have said it and laughed about it.
Right.
I don't understand how people get their shorts in a jump.
Well, I mean, I think it's because in this day and age, it doesn't take much for people to start, like, yelling and screaming because, you know, they feel either slighted or offended or something. You know, like, I don't know how many times that I watch stuff go down on the IGN message boards on stories that involve video games, you know, that you're like, hey, this update came out and it changed, like, you know, like a weapon by 2 points of damage. And there'll be like 20,000 comments and it's not even hyperbole. And all of them will be like, oh, well, you know, screw you, insert name of developer here. You guys are ruining my experience. It's like, what? Like, it doesn't matter. You're talking
it doesn't matter. Like, these are the things that don't have any consequence. You know, if you're going to get up in arms about something, get up in arms about people acting a certain way that are examples for teenage girls.
Well, and see, that's why I brought up the fact that Black Widow is such a sexualized character on purpose. She's meant to be that way. It's because, okay, yes, is it inappropriate to be calling maybe even fictional female characters whores and sluts? Sure, yes. At the same time, though, if we're really going to address that, then we need to be fair and also address the fact that maybe it's not exactly appropriate for Scarlett Johansson to be parading around in you know, skin-tight outfits all the time, looking like a little sex kitten.
Right.
I mean, she's a fantasy. She's 1,000% a sexual fantasy.
And most guys treat her as such.
Yeah.
Which she's intended
to be that way.
And that's my issue with female superheroes in general, is that the way they dress, how they're presented, I mean, some of them are pretty kick-ass. Let's face it. You know, Wonder Woman is pretty kick-ass, though her lasso of truth is a little lame.
That is the exact word I was thinking of.
She's an Amazon queen. Like, yeah. She's awesome. Why does she have to dress in Daisy Dukes and a strapless top? Like, come on. You know,
you can't be awesome without showing a lot of your assets.
That's a great way to put it. At least I was going to say. I mean, so we were at Hobby Lobby today. And for those of you who don't know, it's a very large craft store that you can get just about everything in. And it's a Christian company. And much like Chick-fil-A, they've been in the news for some controversial things about, like birth control and homosexuality and those sorts of things.
Obamacare,
yeah. But they're a Christian company. You can go in there, you can find plaques with Bible verses, but not everything is Christianized.
I would say maybe like 5% of it, maybe even 1% is.
Yeah, I mean, but so they had all this superhero paraphernalia. They had Superman, they had Batman, they had Hulk, they had the Avengers, they had the X-Men. Not a single one of them had a female character on them.
No. The Avengers poster did.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
It did. Did it have Black Widow?
I don't know about Black Widow. Probably.
But these are old school. Yeah. Old, like, from the 60s, from the 50s. Like they're not modern. They're not the movie posters. These are, like, vintage looking. They're actually pretty cool. But I'm sitting there, and I was looking for, actually, like, a Wonder Woman poster for my office. And I'm like, why can't I find one? And we got into the discussion of, well, probably because she's scantily clad and they don't want to carry that here. And why can't she wear a little bit more clothing? I don't get it. You know, maybe Scarlett Johansson's character, maybe the Black Widow in these movies shouldn't be portrayed as a sexual object. A sexual object who's also a ninja. Like, she kicks ass and
looks hot the whole entire time, which honestly is a little irritating.
But,
like, she should at least have a hair out of place every once in a while.
Right, and it makes these, and no offense to you, Rich, but it gives these fanboys these sort of wet dreams that no woman could ever live up to.
You mean you can't don skin-tight leather and go, you know, karate chop bad guys left and right? And
I mean,
have your hair out of place at the end? Really, Danae, I'm a little disappointed.
Pretty sure nobody wants to see that.
Whatever.
Leather's not a good look for me.
But I mean, they're given these kick-ass moves and these kick-ass attitudes and everything. But what it boils down to is, again, not to be crude, but yeah, they are wet dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their main purpose. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there is definitely some things that I can agree about with that, because, I mean, let's face it, in like anything pre 1980s, you know, comic books were the things that, you know, were only for little boys, like literally, you know, the demographic was, you know, ages, you know, like 5 to 20, and, you know, that's who read comic books, you know, and then as those readers grew up, you know, it started to change a little more, and there's more of a female presence in the comic book world now, and characters that do embody all those things that don't have, like, you know, crazy scantily clad, you know, like tights or whatever, and that kind of stuff, which is good. It's good to see the industry growing and maturing a little bit. But you're right. I mean, most of the stuff that's happening now in the cinematic world is all stuff that, you know, like, they're redoing the classic characters and they're modernizing them. So of course, you know, all the reference material is, you know, like all this dated stuff where, you know, they're basically, you know, females were made sexual objects for the, you know, the young boys to be reading about, which is, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, I would love it, you know, especially, you know, as they start branching off and making things like the Wonder Woman film that's coming up, I would love to see a more grounded, much more realistic take on Wonder Woman. And I know that's almost nearly impossible because she's almost as mythic as Thor is. But it'd be nice to see, you know, like a really good story without all of the sexual innuendo, because, you know, just simply because she's a female character.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is, as a woman who likes comic books and superheroes and flashy movies and nerdy things and video games, like, I'd like to see a woman who looks more like me, because I'm not 5'10", I'm 110 pounds. Like, I'd like to see a woman who doesn't look great with makeup on, you know.
Or maybe who's like 5'2½", you know, instead of 5'10".
Right.
That wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Right.
You know, short girls can kick ass too.
Right. You know, it would be nice even now, so 2015, if we had some
more relatable characters.
More relatable women characters, right?
Sure.
And, you know, I know the male characters are, but the male characters are a little bit more relatable. With the exception of Superman, who's, like, perfection. You know, he doesn't get to have any fun, though, let's face it. Because he's always busy saving somebody. You know, you have Batman, who's you know, crippled, essentially, by his parents' death, emotionally crippled by his parents' death, where he has a giant chip on his shoulder. Black Widow, we don't have anything about Black Widow that demonstrates that she has anything other than assets, physical assets, right? Yeah. We have Tony Stark, whose hubris is beyond compare, you know, and he's also an alcoholic, and, you know, then we have
but Black Widow is just perfect.
Black Widow is just perfect. So, yeah. You know, you look at the pantheon of superheroes, you know, these demigods, these people, and the men you can relate to because they all have a fatal flaw. You know, what woman...
Black Widow always knows exactly... I mean, okay, so in Captain America 2, the one scene, honestly, I took issue with this because it was so absolutely unrealistic, is she gets a call from, I guess, S.H.I.E.L.D., saying, we need you now, and she's like, oh, I'm in the middle of something, and what she's in the middle of is she is tied to a metal chair in the middle of some, I don't know, meatpacking warehouse or something, surrounded by four or five thugs, and they're...
The Avengers.
Oh, is it the Avengers?
That's the
Avengers. Right, okay. So the Avengers. So that's the actual part that I did watch. And she's, you know, she's like, you know, I'm really busy right now, fine, whatever, okay, yes, I'll come save the day for you. And then she immediately breaks her bonds and does it looking awesome the whole time and, you know, spins around, does some kicks, judo chops, whatever, and all the guys are just groaning, lying at her feet, practically dead. And then she strides off. Again, like, there's no... She's perfect. She has the perfect attitude. She can do everything herself. She doesn't need anyone else. And she looks sexy as hell the whole entire time. It's ridiculous.
Well, so I guess... If you were to, like, rewrite that scene or to, you know, like, what would you have rather seen?
Maybe she got slammed into a wall at some point. You know, maybe one of the guys, I don't know, nearly breaks her wrist or something and she winces in pain and then goes on to, you know, escape and have them all groveling at her feet. Just some little sign that she actually can be broken.
Right.
Gotcha.
Because right now, I have not seen a single indication that she is not 1,000% self-sustainable.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I don't remember. I mean, I don't really remember, like, a scene where you really fear for her character.
Yeah, no.
You know, she's just like, all right, I know what I'm doing. I'm, like, super professional. I'm just going to kick everybody's ass and leave.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, you see Thor get hurt, you see Tony Stark get hurt, you see, I'm assuming that you see the other male Avengers get... Oh, Captain America totally gets hurt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you guys still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, okay, go. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so, I mean, that's basically my point, is that her hair is always in place, she never breaks a nail, which is ridiculously unrealistic, and therefore unrelatable.
And she is the only female superhero in the MCU right now. And she's the only superhero, with the exception of Hawkeye, who hasn't had her own movie. So,
Cap, and there's that too.
Cap gets a movie, Hulk mm-hmm. gets a movie, even though it's Edward Norton, and, you know, rom-com, dope-dido Mark Ruffalo didn't get his own movie, but that's a whole separate issue.
Right.
So, we have...
But the character still did.
The character did. Thor gets his own movie, even though it was a tremendous waste of an hour and 54 minutes and 4 seconds. And
Tony Stark gets his own
Tony
movie.
Tony Stark gets two movies before the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But are there any plans to even make a Black Widow movie?
I don't know if it's actually on the dock or not, but there are, like, the way that the MCU is going to branch out as far as, like, phase... 3 and beyond, like, it's ridiculous. So, let me just see if I can pull it back up here real quick, because I started looking into it while we were, you know, preparing to do today's podcast. But the list of films is just, like, outrageous. But, yeah, you know, you are definitely right. The only other female character in the entire universe that is, you know, it's not in the Avengers, but the only other female character that is kind of superhero-ish is Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, as a hero.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but she's almost like a vigilante.
No. Right. She is hypersexualized, too. And then you have Peggy Carter, who's in Captain America, and yeah. Now she's her own, like, branched-out show, Agent Carter. But she's out of context. She can't be part of the Avengers because she's living in the 40s.
In a different time. Yeah.
You know, and there, I have to say, whomever is writing and directing that show, they bring up the blatant sexism in the 40s. But what they don't realize is that currently nothing's changed. Peggy Carter wasn't allowed to do things. Well, so Black Widow is. But she's the only woman in the that shows up in the Avengers.
I'm okay with her being the only woman who shows up in the Avengers. I just take issue with you know, her unrealistic depiction.
Yeah. I don't care for the fact that there's only one woman superhero.
Yeah.
And we haven't met a female villain yet in the MCU.
So, yeah, I don't think there are many, if any.
At least in DC, you have Catwoman, you have Poison Ivy. I mean, they're hypersexualized too, don't get me wrong. You know, but they're pretty, you have Harlequin, right? Harley Quinn.
Yep, that's right.
You have these women are pretty fierce villains.
Yeah.
Poison Ivy is, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of her, no. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Catwoman is pretty fierce, for lack of a better word. And
fierce.
Yeah. I mean, Harley Quinn is
not a name I don't recognize. Obviously, I recognize the other two, but...
Yeah. She actually dresses like a Harlequin.
Okay.
She wears the hat and the whole one-piece bodysuit that, like... did she work for the Joker? I don't exactly...
She's the Joker's muse, I would say. You know, as far as, like... You know, if there was anyone that would be considered the Joker's friend, or, I don't know, almost like a pet, almost, like, literally, because the Joker doesn't give anything, he doesn't care about anyone, except her. Like, he cares about her to some degree. But still, in the same vein as he would say something nice to her, he'd slap her in the face.
Right.
So, you know, because Joker's insane. But... You know, that character is going to be in an ensemble movie in a leading role. So that's going to be pretty cool to see.
That will be pretty cool.
You know, because she'll be the starring role in Suicide Squad, which is the team of, you know, villains that basically, you know, kickstart, you know, things like, you know, you hear, oh, a whole bunch of people just broke out of Arkham. Probably is because the Suicide Squad had a hand in it. But, you know, there's all sorts of weird stuff happening with that movie. So, you know, the DC movie continuum, let's call it, because I think that's actually what their name is for it. You know, it's only had one movie in the series, and it's already kind of, like, collectively off the rails as far as, like, a clear plan goes. Because there's people, like, dropping movies and director roles, and, you know, like, things are having trouble getting finished, and, you know, it's kind of a mess. So I'm hoping that they get it together, because I'd really like to see all that stuff, actually come to fruition and be on the screen. Because you'll get it almost back-to-back. You've got Batman v Superman coming out next year, and then Suicide Squad, and then supposed to be Wonder Woman.
There's a new Batman movie coming out too sometime soon.
That's Batman versus Superman.
Oh, okay, is it? Because yeah. they just cast the Joker.
Well, yeah, but he's going to appear first in Suicide Squad.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Jared Leto? Yeah. Yeah, his character is going to appear first in the end of not the end, but at some point he's going to have a cameo role in Suicide Squad. So then his character can then be introduced later on in a standalone Batman movie, you know, assumingly starring Ben Affleck.
No, Batfleck.
So,
no.
I mean, I don't know, though. I don't know. Like, I broke the rule via a work colleague of mine that I had for myself, and I didn't want to watch either the Batman v Superman trailer or the new Star Wars trailer that just got released last week until I saw it in the theater, and I, you know, my colleague wouldn't let me do that, so I watched both of them, and it's, I don't know. I mean, I can see some pretty cool things. You know, I mean, there's not much to see in a teaser. But it was enough to get me excited that, you know, maybe Batfleck isn't going to be so bad after all. So, yeah, we'll see. The suit looks kick-ass anyway.
Danae does not look convinced, just for the record. Yeah.
It was real weird to see the Bruce Wayne as you know, Mr. Ben just sitting there in a suit.
You so. And Kevin Smith are the only people who are excited about Batfleck.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Like, I mean, I just really hope to be pleasantly surprised because, I mean, if this movie comes out and bombs, then I'm never getting another good Superman movie ever in my life. Like, it's just not going to happen. You know, like, you know, Warner will wind up trying again in another 2 or 3 years to do something with a character, but, you know, how many times are you going to try to make a movie, you know, to be on par with what Marvel's doing unless you can knock it out of the park now? I mean, the answer is you're not going to. So, you know, Zack Snyder's got a lot riding on this movie.
Well, no offense to DC, but I also think that they keep going back to the same plot lines, it seems, over and over again. Like, the very fact that they are using the Joker again, to me, I mean, that's already been done twice, whereas Marvel just keeps moving along with new plots and new characters introduced and knew everything, and I think that's probably a better way of doing it.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, it's almost like, though, because Batman exists, it's almost sad not to have Joker there somewhere. Like, you know, always threatening to appear to do harm. It's almost like, you know, saying that, you know, what would Sherlock Holmes be without Moriarty? You know. You know, it's that weird symbiotic relationship that they got going on that fans want to see.
But it keeps bringing the storyline back to the introduction of Joker. Like he's a new villain coming into the scene.
Right.
And that's where I object to it.
Yeah, they need to stop treating the Joker as a new character for sure. He needs to have been already established, and I think maybe that's what they're going to go for in Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Because he's a character that is inside of Arkham Asylum, and I think one of the purposes of them doing whatever they do during that movie is to get him out. So, you know,
in that case, I have less objection.
You know, that I mean, I'm hoping that's pretty cool, but I have no idea. Besides Lex Luthor, I think he's going to be the central villain in Batman v Superman. I have no idea what the actual threat is in that movie. Like, it's just, it's kind of weird to not understand that going in, knowing what I know about the DC Universe, and not getting anything from the trailer. Other than the fact that, you know, people aren't too sure about this alien dude coming in and saving the day, and Batman doesn't like, you know, the fact that there is a dude from another world running around doing what he thinks is his job. So, you know, like,
to see how Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck play off each other.
Yeah.
It will be interesting because, well, I think Henry Cavill is a fantastic Superman, to be honest with you, and he's very attractive. he is so attractive. So it'll be interesting to see how the two of them play off each other because, honestly, I mean, I think Henry Cavill plays a good Superman. The best Superman since, what?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, the best Superman since Christopher Reeve, I guess. You know.
That's making funny gestures at me. She's dropping her head like she's bored.
Oh, no.
Regaled her about
how... No, it has nothing to do with that. The last Superman movie I watched was the one that they came out with in...
Oh, Brandon Routh.
Maybe. I don't even remember the actor's
that
name.
That Superman movie should not
with
have existed.
With his son.
Yeah, it
and
should not
to
have
me,
existed.
I will never watch another Superman movie ever again because I was so bored out of my mind. I can't do it. It killed it for me.
Man of Steel was great.
Yeah, but it was also miserable.
What was miserable?
Like, the character, he doesn't get any happiness whatsoever.
Wait, no, not Man of Steel.
No, not Man of Steel?
No, you're thinking about Superman Returns.
Okay.
Brandon Routh. It was the worst Superman movie that should have never existed.
Okay.
That is very, I mean.
And I saw it twice in one night.
He did.
I was in love with somebody who wanted to see it both in the theater because he won tickets and then in the IMAX at Franklin Institute, which, for the record, has the most uncomfortable seats in the universe to watch a 3-hour movie that should have never been filmed.
Yeah, that's true.
That's love right there. That is love.
That's true.
Because I can't say I will ever be that far in love with anyone.
It's good. It was a good time.
I'll never let him forget.
But that's love, too.
So, that movie should, yeah, so that Brandon Routh movie should have never happened. But then you get Man of Steel, which is the introduction of Henry Cavill as Superman. And people were up in arms because they cast a Brit.
I remember that.
And then they saw him in the suit, and people stopped complaining.
Sexist.
And so, and that was a great movie, actually.
I really enjoyed it as well.
They introduced a new villain, which had never been done in any of the movies before.
Except for Superman 2,
back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. But Zod, who was this, I mean, a demigod matched, paired well against Superman's
power.
Was
he the 80s blonde? Was he the blonde?
I don't remember.
With
was
the mullet?
The blonde with the mullet, Rich?
The blonde with the mullet?
Yeah.
Superman 2?
No.
No, I'm thinking of Superman 4, I think.
Yeah, you're thinking about Quest for Peace, which should never exist in any universe.
There we go.
You know what? I remember being captivated by that movie once upon a time. Yes, I was only like 7 years old, but I was still very impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it was all Superman 2 for me. Superman 2 was my jam when I was little. I used to watch it, almost every week during... You know, like to take a break from binging on Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, which I watched every day for about 3 years straight, which is kind of crazy. But but yeah, Superman 2 and Man of Steel have a lot of stuff in common. It's just like the more serious and grounded telling of that tale happens in Man of Steel, because in Superman 2 it's basically like straight up. It's like half comedy, half action movie, because they get real silly with the characters, even though they're supposed to be like very serious. In both movies, Zod shows up to not only punish and make an example of Superman's character, but to execute him for what he sees as the genocide of his entire people, because of course Krypton. Krypton doesn't make it, and Zod sees Superman as partially responsible for some unknown reason, even though he was an infant. So
I know I watched that way back when. I just can't remember any of the details.
But I will say that watching Man of Steel, and you please don't feel obliged by any stretch of the imagination. That's real depth to that story, and you see actually Krypton get destroyed. Like it's pretty impactful. The storytelling in that movie was great. It's a little heartbreaking in a couple of places, but it was also fantastic. And in the end, you see this because Superman is like this. I don't even know. He's like perfect. He's so good. He's so moral. He's so ethical.
He's Captain America.
He's Captain America. But he's Captain America like on roids, man. He's like, he he is practically a god, and he will not, like, he's so righteous is a good word for him. And you see that if he does not make the hardest choice he has ever had to make, and he's made some hard choices, right? If he does not make this the hardest choice, then people will suffer. So he chooses to make the hardest choice and chooses to inflict the suffering on himself because he can't let others suffer. It's such a...
That sounds miserable.
But then he gets Amy Adams and it's good. But it's got such emotion. It's got such depth. It's got such nuance. He's such a good hero. He is the most nuanced Superman. He's so, like, likable. And sometimes Superman's not likable because you're like, oh my god, like, cut it out. You're such a tool. You know, no offense, honey.
No, it's all good. No.
You know,
I don't think I ever thought of Superman as a tool, just overly serious.
Yeah.
But not a tool.
He's such a, like, in that movie, you see that struggle to be good. You see the choices he has to make. It's fantastic. I don't know. It's fantastic. It's such a good movie. Cavill is such a good Superman. And I would be so sad if they stopped making those movies for a variety of reasons. But
yeah, no, me, well, obviously me too, since that is my favorite superhero of all time. So, you know, it would pain me to not see that character on screen again. But yeah, so, I mean, we kind of got a little off the rails and, like,
way off topic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll talk about, you know, competing cinematic universes, I guess, for a little bit. I mean, it's not a big deal, but yeah, so getting back towards the Marvel side, you know, what we're looking forward to is, you know, what should be an uphill climb from here. You know, we hit as about as low as you can get in the MCU with Thor. So, you know, I can assure you that as far as our continued journey goes, it literally can only get better from here.
Okay, I so far have had a better opinion, however, of Thor than I did of Avengers 1. So.
All right.
That's still, for me, that's still left to be seen.
Well, I mean, I'm confident going in that when we get there, it's two movies away. When we get there, I am very confident that, you know, the first 10 minutes that you saw, they'll all start to make, like, a whole bunch of sense for you. And, you know, the rest of the movie is just, like, a fun romp at that point. And then you'll know exactly what's going on as far as, you know, the characters involved. You know, and you get more Loki, and Loki's kind of awesome. Like, as a villain, he's probably one of my favorite, like, movie villains. You know, he's cool. And you get a lot of them in The Avengers, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, he shows up in the first 10 minutes, so.
Yeah.
I know to expect him.
Wait, so we have Cap, Captain America.
Yep.
And then what's after Cap?
The Avengers.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I thought we had Hawkeye first.
No, Hawkeye doesn't ever have his movie.
Oh.
He doesn't get a movie. It's Captain America, the first Avenger, and then the Avengers.
Oh, in that case, okay. I've heard such negative stuff about Captain America 1 is, to me, already without watching it, today's Thor.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think, though, like, I remember when we had a conversation, it was back on the first episode, we were talking about, like, looking forward to other things and maybe not looking forward to Thor. You know, when we were talking about Captain America directly, you know, Danae had some good points to make about, well, maybe Captain America the First Avenger isn't the superhero movie you're looking for. It might just be the cool, like, out of time, like, history lesson that you didn't expect.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to go into that viewing thinking about that, like, thinking like that, actually. To see if my opinions change, because I thought it was a little bit of a slog, because it doesn't really feel, it's like a 1940s or 1950s, you know, version of an action movie, because it's set in that time, but they really took that to heart. You know, almost no modernized popcorn flick stuff happens in the movie at all.
And the other thing about Cap is that the villain is not, like, they were afraid to really dig into the Nazis' evil, and so much like Iron Man 2, the villain is toothless.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only criticism I have about Cap. I actually remember liking it more than I thought I would.
Well, I'm just hoping that if I have really, really, really low expectations, I won't be bored out of my mind actually watching it. So, it's not that I'm discounting your opinions, either of you. Just trying to, I'm trying to build it down really, really far so that I actually enjoy the movie when I watch it.
Fair enough. So yeah, but yeah, definitely do expect the slog. But as far as expectations go, you know, I guess for the listenership out there, you know, when do we think we might be able to get together and make that one happen? You know, like thinking in like a couple weeks or, you know, next month, that kind of thing.
Definitely next month, but that's still, it would have to be later on in the month than earlier.
Cool. So, yeah, like I'll already have my you know, Avengers 2 geek afterglow on, so yeah, that'll be pretty awesome. And then we'll get back together again and we'll watch some Captain America and it'll be pretty awesome. So, you know, I guess with that, you know, do we have any parting shots for Thor?
You don't want to hear our party shots, really.
All right.
They're not appropriate from this company.
That's trying to make you uncomfortable.
Fair enough. Well, we'll go. We'll do some of the, you know, the regular housekeeping stuff then. You know, thanks again, everybody, for listening in to this third episode of Sharp Angles. You know, if you got some stuff you want to throw our way, you know, again, yeah, I know it's another whole month almost went by. And it's still Rich at baconicecream.com that you can send all of your warm and fuzzies or not so warm and fuzzies to. I swear to God that by the next episode there will be a Sharp Angles address that you can send your stuff to. But for now, it's just Rich at Bacon Ice Cream. You know, you can even you know, like we'll talk about like other ways to communicate. But for right now, we'll just keep it to the emails. Send them in. Subscribe to us too on iTunes. Give us a little Red Rooney on the iTunes, you know, we still like those 5 stars, because that'd be pretty cool, you know, because we're still cool, you know, you've listened to us for another hour and 16 minutes, so you might as well.
This might be our longest one yet.
Yeah, exactly, so, like, hook us up, you know, because it'll make us feel all, like, warm and fuzzy inside, and, you know, make us, like, want to keep doing this, even though we're probably going to do it anyway, even if you don't like it, so there. So anyway, thanks again, guys. We'll see you next time for some Captain America. Until then, Rich Haywood, your fanboy.
Danae Haywood, your novice. And Jeanette DeLouis, the neophyte.
All right. And yeah, we'll see you next time on Sharp Angles. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.